This is a placeholder song, a placeholder song, until we replace the old song. This is a placeholder song, for is this anything?
Yo, check out this day. I didn't lose money today. And look at this.
Ooh.
I traded Apple today, right? Take a look at that's the stonk market.
Aye, aye, aye.
But I was trading this one. The one
you were
green.
The green boy.
It's the one green in a sea of red.
I like it. I like that my friend Rob is doing stocks. He's doing stonks.
I've never heard anyone genuinely say stonks, but I like it.
Stonks.
Yeah, it kind of takes the edge off when I talk about it.
It makes, here's the thing, saying stonks makes you sound not like a douchebag.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
As I said, it takes that edge off. You know, I can say it and I don't feel stupid.
Being somebody who trades stocks, somebody who knows about the market, like, it is impossible to not sound like a Wall Street douchebag. But when you say stonks, you sound like a fun Reddit ding dong.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Oh no, yeah. I'm not a pretentious a-hole. I'm an idiot.
I love in the stonk Reddit market.
Yeah, exactly. That's way better. Way prefer it'll be a lovable idiot than to be a Wall Street D-bag.
You just made me think of a good idea. There should be escapism rooms. A bunch of drugs, video games. And
that sounds amazing. I'm in.
Fantastical movies. That's it. You're not trying to leave.
Escape rooms are like, all right, you've got 59 minutes to get out of this room. Escapism rooms. All right, you got 59 minutes. Be in this room. Just be in this room.
Just be.
Whatever. Just leave your troubles behind you. You're in debt. Not in this room, you're not.
I'm having a bad hair day, guys.
No, you're not. You look great.
Not good.
What don't you like about it?
It's usually better.
It's tough because, you know, when you're convinced that you have a bad hair day, like, nobody can unconvince you of that.
I'm going to go get myself some more coffee while we're waiting for Brett.
Do it.
Fix your hair.
You fucking animal.
God, she looked so bad.
I mean, I just feel like you have to say that to be nice. But I mean, like, didn't you know we were recording an episode today? Like,
yeah, but she had time.
Like, don't you have a brush? Or, you know?
Right. I feel like the air in Albuquerque is dry enough where it's like, it's not like it's good.
Yeah, there shouldn't be that frizz, you know?
Exactly.
You this should look better. You have everything working for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're young.
You're in your own home.
You're in Albuquerque.
Yeah. I hope she comes back with a hat.
I hope so too. Not because it'd be funny, but because it would be aesthetically necessary.
Exactly. I'm supposed to teach. Oh God, I should probably catch up on that.
You're tooting later.
I'm tooting, rooting, tooting, fresh and fruity. And I got to do cellular respiration.
You got to teach that.
Yeah.
I think you do cellular respiration like
all
just automatically, you know?
No, what I'm saying is I'm low in energy. I need to do cellular respiration to gear myself up for the rest of my day, Jared.
Oh, okay.
I need the glucose molecules to break down in a series of steps, providing my body ATPs.
There we go.
Much better. Good. I mean, the hat's like so-so, but it's better than the hair.
This is a hypothetical for you, Rob.
Hi, Brett.
Hey, Brett. Let us know when you're ready. It looks like you're still doing things.
No, I'm good.
Are you ready?
But
all right, your audio is a little low, Brett.
A little low. Okay.
How's my audio? Too loud? Because remember, it's been loud for several episodes now, and I don't know what.
Oh, we remember.
Now this is me, and this is me talking way too close to the microphone.
Yeah, that's way too loud, Rob. But if you're probably not going to talk like that on the episode.
Yeah, but if I do. Like, I really don't want me to be as loud as I've been. Why keep on having sound checks the most fun?
Like, this, it's not supposed to be this way. All right, guys. I have a thing to share. I'm not even waiting for anybody to ask me if I have anything to share.
Love it. Jump right in there.
I mentioned on a previous episode that we had a radiator leak in my apartment. It has completely warped the floor. We have a little mini skate park in our apartment right now. Mm-hmm. When I got back from Thanksgiving, it got worse, which is like, you know, it's totally livable for me. Like, I don't mind. But the thing that's annoying is that we have to get it fixed, and scheduling it to get fixed is going to be a bit of a bear. So now there's a big bubble underneath the bed that has lifted the bed 4 inches off the ground.
Oh my
God. On one corner. Whoa. It's like a this bed now. All right.
That's insane.
So Kirsten has this job that she is just crushing it, but she's working so hard all the time. She's working mostly from home, and she's still in on the West Coast right now because she has like a big meeting with Amazon. And so I, being a good fiance, was like, you know what? I'm going to try to get this fixed before she gets back. She's going to get back. Floor is going to be perfect. So I get back. I go right to the front desk. I go, hey, they were waiting to schedule the floor thing until I got back. I want to know if we can do it this week. Let me know. And so then I went about my life. I got a message this morning that said floor people are confirmed for tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. Floor getting fixed. And I was like, wow, perfect. I texted Kirsten. Great news.
That's the only circumstance in which you want to get a text that says floor people confirmed for tomorrow.
the floor people are coming.
No. Confirmed tomorrow.
Oh, God.
So official.
I text Kirsten. Kirsten, great news. The floor is going to be done when you get back. She goes, yay. You're such a great fiance. I love you. And I go, I am great. And then I spend the entire afternoon moving everything from the bedroom into the living room and moving the things in the living room around so the things in the bedroom can fit in the living room. And
I'm
call
so
up,
excited. This
and
is
there's
gonna
like,
work out.
There's like a, there's like three or four things that are a little big and heavy. So I texted a friend of mine who lives really close. I was like, hey man, do you mind coming over this evening and just help me move a couple of things? And he was like, you got it, man. And I'm like, looking forward to that. And then everything is done. I go into the living room. I'm playing video games, having a great time. I get a call from the front desk. They go, Mr. Barrettstein just wanted to confirm that we got the floor people. They are coming on Monday and Tuesday. And I go, that is not the message that I got. They said, oh, sorry. No, the message here says Monday, Tuesday. I was like, well, the email that I got said tomorrow. And then the manager got on the phone and he was like, yeah, sorry. The floor people canceled for Wednesday.
No.
The earliest they can do it is Monday. And so I'm just like, I spent all afternoon moving shit from the bedroom into the living room. I got to call up my friend that I canceled the lunch. I moved a thing all over the place. No. I had to rearrange. And then I had to call up Kirsten and go, Kirsten, I'm sorry, baby. The floor is not going to be done by the time you get back. And now we just sort of like have to arrange our life around living out of the living room now.
My family was meant to move my dad into his new place, like a facility where they'll like, you know, give him his medication at the right times and stuff like that. Cause he's having all kinds of issues like with memory ever since his bypass. And so we're like, this is going to be much healthier for him. We've arranged everything over like, when can we move him in? My sister's like, okay, this is the weekend. Brett will be back from tour. I'll do this. Brett will do this. Seth will do this. We're all like, this is the weekend. My sister's boyfriend is like, he's arranging his life around it. We're doing
the
so much
the floor people
prep work.
Coming on. Yeah. They're confirmed. The floor people are going to come.
The floor people are coming.
The floor people. And then like right before Thanksgiving, they are like, hey, we got a prescription from the doctor that says iron and fish oil, and it's kind of illegible. We're not sure how much, and so we can't move him in until that happens. Also, happy Thanksgiving. Bye. And then everybody is, the doctor's gone for Thanksgiving, and they're gone for Thanksgiving, and we're just like, it was just the, exactly what you're talking about, is like, now we have to arrange everything. We have to hope that Monday morning, we have to cancel the U-Haul. We have to hope that Monday morning, my dad will like be able to move in, that the doctor will get back to them and get the right prescription. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I'm staying over to keep an eye on my dad because the people that we had watching, you know, like helping out, they were expecting to be gone by then. And then we have to take the cats over separately. Then my brother's like bringing as much stuff as he can over. It was just, oh my God, it's been a doozy.
That is a nightmare, man. I'm sorry I had to deal with that. The healthcare industry and the floor industry are such a miasm of just like difficult bureaucracy.
Where's Joe Biden?
No reason. Universal floor care. There is a bill on his desk waiting to get signed.
I'll tell you what, it's the goddamn Republicans the Senate.
Because you know what? Because everybody makes money. Everybody makes money when your floor is warped and you can't, and you got to move things back and
forth. We need floor reform.
Floor reform.
Oh boy.
Well, we're in the same emotional place then, right?
That exact same emotional place.
And the stakes could not be more even. Unlike my floor. Anything else for the catch-up, guys? Anything else that we got?
Nah, I want to just do some bits.
Let's do some bits.
I think it's something later I'll talk about.
Leedy, great hat. Our order this week is Jarrett Rob Brett.
Ooh, strong. Strong.
Yeah.
Jarrett Rob Brett. Okay.
That's you.
Yes,
Jarrett. Jarrett Bernstein. Did you not hear that? He needs that lead-in.
Bernstein. All right, here's the bit. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. This is very ill-constructed, so just follow me on this. I was watching an old movie the other day, and it reminded me of how much different things are now and how much worse capitalism has made everything. Like, it's made success so impossible. It used to be so easy. College used to cost like a nickel. Every job was a living wage. Knowing that, I have complete and unwavering sympathy for anybody who is living in poverty today, and zero sympathy for anybody who lived in poverty then. It's like, it was so easy. It was so easy. You could have gotten a college degree for like $25. Every job was basically like a CEO, I guess. You know, if you were homeless back then, you were a lazy idiot. That's all I got.
That's really funny.
So yeah, I was thinking about the juxtaposition of like watching an old movie and seeing like The Little Tramp, you know, is like this guy, Charlie Chaplin, this guy can't get a break. You know, he's always, you know, short on money and stuff like that. And it's like, what was stopping you? There were union jobs. There were good union jobs back then. Something like that. I don't know. That's the idea.
What if you watch Trading Places and you're like, I don't like Richard Pryor's character.
Trading Places, Eddie Murphy, you racist.
Eddie Murphy. but yeah, I don't actually think I've seen this whole thing, but it's like he's a broke person who trades lives with a rich person.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the basic gist. But that's the thing. It's like that movie, I believe, took place in the 80s, which is when all of the mechanisms of destroying the middle class so that more money could get shuttled to the rich people and the poor people would get even more poor. That's when all that stuff sort of like started metastasizing. It had been sort of like in the works since the Nixon administration. But then Reagan kind of came in and just put a sledgehammer at everything. So I would not use like a movie from the 1980s as an example, but like the 1950s or 60s, I think is a little bit more
note was going to be that I think that you're picking like a weird window. I think you have to be pretty narrow with this like post World War II pre-Reagan era whatever thing. Mm-hmm, then I'd follow the logic of your joke because my brain couldn't help but think of like, wait, how far back are you talking exactly? when you said Charlie Chaplin, I'm like, what? I mean,
that one didn't really work.
The Depression after the
Even further to instead of just like people who are broke, but just like anybody who's upset about anything, you're like, why are these 12 men so angry? What do they have to be angry about?
Funny.
Okay, that's good. I need to look for like movies from the 1950s where that specifically was occurring.
Yeah. You know? Do you want me to just bring up a list of?
Let's do it. Now this can be period pieces as well, right? Like modern day movies made about people back then.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, we've got the Ten Commandments. Well, there we go.
That have to be done.
Sorry, this is made
episode
in the 50s.
Over. Next up, we got
get a job. I don't understand.
Those are commandments 1 through 10.
Should I name these or only ones that I recognize? Because I don't know a lot of these. We've got An Affair to Remember, Imitation of Life, Queen Bee.
Ooh, the Beyonce documentary that came out in the 50s.
The Red Balloon, I know that one. Hercules. These don't seem like these
hard.
Take
these
place.
Are
hard.
Well, these are all period pieces back then.
Yeah,
yeah. I guess we have to see movies about the 1950s.
I like it. You're like, I'm going to Google movies from the 1950s. All right. Cleopatra, Julia.
It's going to be the same list. Okay.
This is tougher than I thought. okay. You know, because, yeah, you're kind of coming with like a narrow list of movie ideas, because not only does it have to be of the era, but then also the protagonist has to, what, be like in some kind of peril, financially?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe?
A streetcar named Desire?
Ooh, that might work. From what I remember, they were not in a great place financially.
You know, I did watch the movie Catch Me If You Can again recently.
Ooh,
and
Catch Me If You Can.
It was making me think, like, the whole movie should have been called White Privilege the Movie. Because this guy just coasts on his privilege forever. And then he gets caught by the FBI and they're like, ah, we'll give you a job. I was like, what? And now he's like a million. And then at the end, it's like, he's now a millionaire. And he consults banks about fraud. You suck. The end.
I feel the same way about the Will Smith movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, which, if you've never seen it, is just like this deluge of like misfortune that happens to this one dude as he, and he's like a genius and he's like really gregarious. And like everybody likes him and everything. But it's just like, hardship. And then at the end, he becomes successful. And after watching it, I was like, this is the most blatant criticism of capitalism I've ever seen in my life. Like, this should not exist. Like, this should not, that guy's life should not have been that hard. And I think, Rob, to your point, it would be funny if there was like a white guy going through the exact same thing and he got the job like immediately.
Well, actually,
oh, God, you live on the street? Come be a stockbroker. Come. It's so easy. Come here.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I got into a debate with a friend of mine over the TV show, I believe, called, what was it? A Maid? Like about her being a maid? Yeah.
I don't know that one.
So Pursuit of Happiness is based on, you know, a book written by the guy who went through all of that. Black man and played by Will Smith. The TV show Maid is about, based on a book written by a white woman who went through that exact same thing. I see a friend of mine post an article or like share an article that says, why is the maid white?
Oh my God.
And I'm like, because the girl's white? Like, yeah, but there's a lot more Latina maids out there. And I was like, I don't necessarily know if that's true, but even if it was, she's white. This is her story. She wrote it. It's a book. It got on the bestseller list. She got a movie, a TV deal. Why? When at that? When? At what point is she supposed to change the woman to a Latina woman? Because like 32% of maids are Latina. Like, I'm just out of curiosity. And she's like, no. And we go back and forth for a long time. And I'm just like, I don't. I cannot. Even if you change it from a white woman to a Latina woman, you can't just change the person's race, because every single interaction that she would have, everything in her book and thus in the show would have been how a white woman went through this, right? Like, wouldn't a Latina woman go through an entirely different set of issues, problems, everything?
It would have been harder.
Right. Arguably, it would have been harder. And that's a fair
better
assumption
food,
to make.
Better food.
It would have been spicier. But if we...
Why don't you just send her a link to Made in Manhattan and be like, there you go.
They already did the Hispanic version.
Worked out great. It was one of the stranger arguments that I got into about it. And then I started to research and look into it, because I was like, I had a hunch. I was like, you know, when you hear these statistics, usually it's a matter of like, it's disproportionately X, Y, and Z, right? And she was like, most of the maids are this. And I was like, again, I'm not sure if that's true. There's a lot of poor white country, like areas in the country. You should. And then sure enough, it was like, not even close. Like, white people are still everywhere in this country.
Your friend might have been being a bit racist.
That's what I that's when the conversation ended, actually. Because I was like, you know, it's a little weird that when you hear maid, you say Latina woman. And she was like, this conversation's over. And I was like, all right. So I won?
Yeah, there's sometimes it's like, Do you want to be right or do you want to have a friend? You want to be right or you want to be happy?
Anything else for this bit, guys, before we move on?
Do a movie version for Rob that's the pursuit of being right.
I'm doing a Rubik's Cube in the back of a cab and I have no friends.
No one was sharing it with you.
The pursuit of being correct.
I'm just sitting there in the bathroom stall, keeping the door closed with my foot as I'm just being right. These are all seeds for Pursuit of Happiness. If you
I like it, where everything that Will Smith's character was going through, it was because, you know, he was a black man living in America. He made a bad call, you know, financially, everything. Everything that's going wrong in your movie is just because you're right about something and you will not let it go. Yeah. You know, it's guy, like, Rob, I'm sorry, I got to fire you, man. And you're like, well, I'm going to have to sleep in a bathroom. It's just like, I know, but the thing is, point nine repeating is the same as one.
Fine, whatever, screw you, buddy. The guy at the homeless shelter thinks that the first season of The Next Generation is the best season, and I'm like, God, you're an idiot. I'm not sleeping here.
I picture when you're holding the bathroom door closed with your foot, you're going, technically by squatter's rights, I'm allowed to be here.
I said occupied. I said occupied. You heard me say, why are you still trying to get in here?
It's handicap accessible. It's not strictly for handicapped people.
Excellent bit.
That's funny. Anyway, could you use any Woo-hoo! Of that?
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's all going in the
All bit. Right. Good, good, good.
Anything else before we move on to Rob Ryan, you guys?
No, but that was great. We should cut it.
Yes. Nothing all natural. Right.
Next up, we got Rob Ryan.
Rob Ryan, all right.
Thank you, guys. Whew. I had a bit. I forget if I've told you this idea before, so you know, don't stop me if I did. You guys know about my brother's a professional poker player. I actually got to see him this week. He came over for Thanksgiving, which is nice. Hmm. I started to play poker because of him, and I got really into the game. And I wanted to start to learn to try to get better. I wanted to get as good as I could get. It was fun for me. But when I first started, I would get so beat up, and I would have these losing sessions, losing hands, and I would come to him and complain. I would just tell him about, this hand really frustrated me. I had this losing session that really got to me. And my brother taught me a very, very valuable lesson in poker. He just said, Rob, just win or learn. That's it. You just got to win or learn, which was great advice, because for the next 2 years, I learned so much. I would go to sleep at night just thinking, I don't know if I can learn anymore. It's like my head is throbbing. Last month, I learned most of my rep. Just learned it. Okay, that's all I got so far.
That's awesome.
Yeah, agreed. It's awesome. The rent comment is exactly where I want the joke to go. Okay. I just want more things to happen. Like you lent somebody money and they come for, and he's like, I'm sorry. I learned it.
it's all up here now.
You see a win loss record with the WL and it's like 0 to 10. You're like, that team must be so smart. Wow. But I'm betting on them.
Think how much the Jets learned this season.
That's great.
You go to the bodega to buy some food and they're like, all right, that's $8.25. And you're like, listen, I was learning this week, so I don't have that. But if I don't learn this week, I can definitely pay you back. I will say that I know that you know this. I know that we're just riffing, but mm-hmm. I think that the beginning needs to be chalked up and sure. concisified.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I wind up doing that a lot when I bring things to you guys, where I'm just like, we're just talking. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it's not like a real beginning, and I should probably think more clearly about that.
Yeah, you just need to say my brother's a professional poker player, and after I lost a bunch, he gave me some good advice.
Would it be funny to reframe someone in Gamblers Anonymous, like they're giving the speech about like what they're doing there and how awful their life has become because of gambling, but it's just all mm-hmm. about learning. You know, just like, you know, my wife came home from work and she's like, where's the kids' college fund? And I'm like, you know, I learned, you know, I learned all day. I was just been all a real learning streak.
Doesn't need a college education because right now.
I love that. That's what I was going to ask, actually. Like, do you think that there is a time when I can switch that word and then just start talking about education? Any, you know,
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. At any point, like,
yeah, I think you can hammer home the learn a few times and then start switching and mm-hmm. just pull apart the bit and into whichever way you want to go.
So in that case, like, then you can be indignant at that point because, like, people love getting an education. You know, so it's almost, you know, if people are coming down on me, it's like, do you realize what you've done? You're like, I am getting an education. I'm doing something with my life. I wake up every day and I put knowledge into my brain.
Yeah, I like the idea that, I don't know, you try to, you strike out with a woman and one of your friends like, oh, you really took an L last night. You're like, I sure did.
I like looking at just a real destitute guy, you know, not doing great. It's just dirty, smelly, no money. And I'm just like, oh, that guy could, like as if he's, ooh, what could he teach me? That guy seems like, he must be very knowledgeable. It's like Buddha.
That's why Buddhist monks, they're so knowledgeable. They've lost everything.
They've lost everything. Oh, man, I've just circled back. Maybe that is the key to life. You know, now you're making me think of a separate joke where I think Buddha was just like a horrible gambler. And he's like, no, you're supposed to do this. This is good for your brain.
So I have nothing now? Great. Great. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I won.
Yeah. I am enlightened. Maybe you should learn from me.
I'm playing a different game.
You're wearing robes. Yes. Right. You're sitting on a rock. I'm closer to
exactly.
I can show you how to do this. Is there something with the different ways that people learn? Like I'm a visual learner. Good
point. Yeah, visual
learner. I'm an economic learner.
I'm a
financial learner.
Visual learner, tactile. I like auditory.
Or you see a blind guy, you're like, visual learner.
He lost his sights. Yeah, there's something so funny about the phrase visual learner. I wonder how that, like, how do you lose money, I guess, but in a visual way or something like that? I don't know.
Oh, like they're like, Mr. Ryan, you have no more money to bet. And you're like, I'll believe that when I yeah, I'm a visual learner.
I'm a bit of a visual learner. Could you just show me how what I've lost? Okay, it's right here. Here's a chart.
I've learned.
Okay.
This goes back to the Gamblers Anonymous idea, but I mean, I think eventually, like you're talking about using the word education. Mm. I think substituting the word loss for learn in other situations, like, it's like, you know, I learned my wife. I learned my kids. I learned my house.
That's great. I like loser and learner if I can make that work too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. You could also go analogous in that you think anybody who's a winner is an idiot.
Ah, it's true. He's rich.
He's got all the chips.
But what did he learn?
He didn't learn anything.
Some people never learn.
Beautiful.
This is why riches brings on women. There we go. I think that's the line. Thank all you guys right. so much.
That was Rob Ryan. Excellent bits.
Next up, we got a good one. Let's cut it out.
Yeah. Next up, we got Brett Dreck. But before we do that, just want to remind everybody to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITAPod. A lot of great exclusive content on there. You can be a patron for as little as $1 a month. As much as you like, you don't have to watch any of the extra content. If you just want to support the show, you can just be a patron and not watch anything. It's up to you. But there's also great exclusive content on there. Lots of cool tiers, lots of great benefits. Patreon.com/ITAPod. And next up, we got Brett Dreck.
Jared, you're getting so good at that you could sell Mattel toys on a commercial eventually.
Yeah. Or Micro Machines.
Micro Machines, yeah.
Do you remember the Micro Machines guy was like huge? Like he was a big deal. You remember?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's like on talk shows and everything, talking fast.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
That's it. He was on Saved by the Bell too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Doing the same thing. He was talking fast.
Yeah, that's the whole
But he was playing a character. Yeah, it was great.
Okay, so I've only once in my life been described as a snack. I was in college, hooked up with a lady, and she told me I was a snack, and I was like so excited, made me feel so good that I told two of my friends. And one of them told me, he was like, oh yeah, I hooked up with her last week. And the other one said, I have plans with her tomorrow. And I realized that she was just between meals.
I love that joke. Between meals. Those the two guys were the meals, Jarrett.
But were they also snacks? That's where I'm getting hung up on this. Because there's nothing in the joke that suggests that they were like more special than you were. It's almost like she has a lot of snacks. You know, she's a snackaholic.
She's overeating.
Yeah. Maybe she's diabetic. I mean, she has to have snacks at regular intervals.
Yeah, she's got to keep her her blood sugar up.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where the logic of the joke loses me. The meal suggests that they're better than you somehow, right?
No, I don't think so. I just snacking is something that you do in between meals.
So why are they the meal and you're not the meal?
Because I'm the one that she told was a snack.
Right. It is true that you have to not go the mental direction that you were going, Jarrett. And I'll admit I was maybe thinking that as well. But then when I put it together, I was like, oh, that's true. They're meals and he's a snack. Mm-hmm. But I do maybe agree with Jarrett that it could cause even the tiniest bit of confusion. So maybe there's just something that can be done to clarify that point.
Okay.
Well, you know, I guess what kind of started creeping into my head was the idea that it doesn't negate the fact that you are a snack. Well, maybe it does, because the whole point of she calling you a snack, you know, are you saying that, oh, I wasn't physically fit to her in her mind. It was just that I'm being called a snack because there are two meals.
I guess what it is like I feel special and then I don't feel special.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's really the joke for me.
But what I went through my head was like, oh, Brett feels special because he looks good and he's physically fit and she's commenting him on that. The fact that she may have sex with other men doesn't negate that fact. It changes things in a different way, which is still fine. And that's what kind of makes it funny for me, because you're like, oh, I don't mind that you're sleeping with other men as well. Like but maybe you do mind that you're like, you thought you were a snack for a different reason or I don't know. I can't explain it. Cause do you understand what I mean to say like the wrong thing has been downgraded? You could still be a snack. It's just that she likes,
one of my two friends are bigger.
Like, big.
Yes. If you made that the case, then the joke would be obvious and clear to that degree. Maybe almost heavy handed, but still.
Yeah, it seems like I would be shoehorning that in pretty, pretty clunkily. There may be an artful way to do it, but I'd have to think on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Good notes.
Well, you know, if you looked up to your friends, and this is packing a lot, and I do understand. But if you were excited enough, where you went to your friends who are more like, you know, I don't know, traditional frat bro kind of guy, and you're just like, oh yeah, you know, it's like I never been called a snack. So I went to my friends who are just like more, they're big tall guys and blah 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 and this and that. So I told them, I was like, hey, this girl, whatever. And like, oh yeah, I'm gonna sleep with her. Oh yeah, I feel right. Whatever. Oh, I guess she was just between meals kind of thing.
Right.
Now I have the visual that like, you know, for some reason that these were guys to aspire to.
Okay. I think I could probably make that happen naturally.
What are you thinking about, Jarrett?
Just more of the same. Just like trying to see if there's a way to thread that needle. Because now that I'm sort of like visualizing like the two big guys and I'm like, oh, what's like a funny way to sort of like communicate the snack part of it. That's not like Brett is cute and good like a snack, but more like I'm just horny between dates. And so, you know, I just want to pop this guy in real quick. Yeah. I don't know. It's a difficult needle to thread.
Maybe we can I like deconstructing snack a bit too. Snack's kind of nice. It's nice to have a snack. It's delicious. Yummy. It's good.
It is, but you wouldn't want to have a snack as a meal. I don't know. The joke is all, it's completely contrived. Like it's all
right, right.
I just, the word snack is very funny to me because it's like, it's not a full thing, but to call somebody that, it's kind of like, I'm just a snack? I don't know. It's just weird. Yeah. Like I feel like a good comment would be like, ooh, you're a four course meal, you know? Like you're you're a dessert or something like that.
That's what I started thinking about, because deconstructing that word snack, you know, ooh, like it's such a compliment. Ooh, that guy's a snack. And you're like, meaning you're gonna have it for 10 minutes and then not think about it again because you got
right.
You have dinner to prepare.
You are half a Twix bar.
I like the idea.
I'm not gonna eat the whole thing because I don't want to ruin my appetite.
Just like something that you do throughout the day, but you don't like waste too much time on.
When you eat out of boredom.
Yeah, everything about snacks. It's like, yeah, you might get texted at 2 a.m. because snacking.
Late night snack.
So I guess it depends on whether you feel like that's a negative thing or not. Because I could see it being pushed either way. I could be convinced of either. Then I would say that I'd push for the the 2 a.m.
Snack pack. That's an orgy.
Snack pack. That's kind of funny in the context of the original joke. Like you're all snacks. She's having a snack pack. What do you think about this? This is might not be anywhere close to the framing, but if you're thinking about like you calling someone a snack is like a nice thing to say, like, ooh, you're hot, you're sexy. But the snack part of it makes it also seem ethereal, not serious. And if your persona maybe wants that, that might be the fun juxtaposition. Like, ooh, she called me a snack. So maybe this could be like a long-term thing. I'm eventually going to get invited over to meet her family, but then you don't bring a snack to your family. You know, like you don't bring it. That's not a dish that you bring over.
A snack by definition isn't something that you deal with long-term.
It's not like, substantive.
Like, yeah. And you're right. If you were for Thanksgiving dinner, you wouldn't bring a snack. You wouldn't bring like Fritos to Thanksgiving dinner.
Sure. And that could be a second part of the joke. If I can get that first part working, I can get indignant and be like, and I'm glad I've never been called a snack since, because I don't want to be a snack. I'm an entree.
Yeah.
I'm a dessert.
Yeah. A snack's not even an appetizer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even an appetizer. I'm not even wings.
I believe snack is meaning like you are, like you look great. Your body's on point, etc. And you're like, what a snack. And then you got called a snack and you're just like, oh my God, does that mean that my body's awesome? But then later you realize, oh no, she didn't mean that snack as in body's awesome. She meant snack as in, you know, someone to have sex with between meals. And I'm like, okay, that's funny. So maybe even just the slightest twist of.
Yeah, that actually would lead in well I guess I'm looking fit or something like that. So I go to my gym buddies and I tell them, I'm like, hey, you know, I got called a snack by this girl. Like, oh, yeah, I hooked up with her last week. Oh, yeah, I got plans with her next week. Oh, she's just between meals.
Perfect. Yeah, gym buddies is so concise. And you're like, I know exactly what you mean when you say gym buddies. That's so funny.
One thing I want to add to this snack conversation is that I don't know the correct way that the kids use the word snack. Because if you hook up with somebody, do they then cease to be a snack? Because isn't the whole thing about a snack that they're tempting, you know? Like, isn't that something that you say to somebody that you're about to hook up to, looking like a snack, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you asking me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, you're our
ambassador.
You're the hippest here. Have you seen your hat? Mm-hmm.
Looking like a snack.
I don't think that's necessarily true, no.
Okay, I'm wrong.
What is your take on the definition of a snack?
I would call anyone a snack if they look good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, but don't do that. Honestly,
anyone? I think you should.
All right, leave some of those thoughts to yourself, okay?
I'm just going to start throwing out some names, Leedy. You let us know if they're a snack or not, all right?
Brett's gym buddy.
Let's go through all of Brett's Facebook friends. Hey, who is a snack? Snack attack.
I actually think I understood the joke originally, like when it was first said. I got the direction.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got to check in with Leedy more.
Yeah.
Feedback from all you confused, but she gets it. Yeah, no, always good to know where there might be some pitfalls. I'll probably try it as is because it was the most concise. Mm-hmm. And then if I'm noticing I'm getting, 60, 70% of the audience, then I might working the gym buddy thing. But yeah, always that's good feedback and good notes, and I got directions to go with it. Thanks, guys.
Woohoo! All right, great job, Britt Druck. And next up, we've got the lady in the hat. She's gonna do some drawings for
already?
Us. Lady in the hat.
Oh, no.
She will set up her iPad. I'll just make this song go longer while you're setting up. She's a lady in the hat. And
we're just gonna cut it.
No, don't cut all this stuff.
We're just gonna cut this, Jack.
In the hat. She's a lady in the hat.
The first one is this. The floor people are coming.
That's amazing.
That's what it looks like.
That's so awesome.
Minus the arm.
He looks awesome.
So that's where a lot of my time went.
Yeah, that drawing.
That's
amazing.
Leedy Corbin.
Wait,
everybody,
can you go back? Can you go back to that drawing real quick?
Yeah.
All right. Wow. So this, I think, is really funny about this is that that guy should be fixing the floor.
That's how he fixes it.
He's yeah, like a monster. He
reaches up and then he pulls it down.
He pulls it right back down.
Look how hard he's working. Look at his face.
Oh, it's so funny. There's
a big one.
Floors.
Then I have how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, dude, you lost.
It's harder for a camel to walk through the eye of a needle than to get it. All right, buddy. All right, buddy. Let's get out of the casino.
I'm just saying, you can throw me out of here. I'm getting into heaven. Yeah. That guy's not. The guy that won.
He's the camel.
That's all I got.
Yeah, Leedy Corbin.
Hey, Leedy.
Art for my heroes. She's got a hat. LeedyCorbin.com.
Sign up for a Patreon so she can get more hats.
More hats.
I don't need more hats. I have so many.
Leedy will be listing on her Patreon all of the people that she thinks are snacks, which is why I will be the patron.
At the $100 level, she will call you a snack.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Leedy. Thank you guys for coming on, and thanks to all of our listeners, watchers, and people in our lives.
Yeah.
And I have outro. A special thank you for outro goes here.
Do you guys want to, Rob, you could have a little time in between. We could do business, or we can just get off, you know, whatever.
I still like let's keep our business meeting to the time that we agreed on, Thursday between 5 and 7. Are we okay with that?
Thursday between 5 and 7.
Is your ceiling falling in?
Yeah, literally.
Okay.
Oh, hey,
you
Rob,
heard it? You heard this?
I can see
little
you.
Smash.
Glad we.
I can see you down there.
Glad we.
Sorry
didn't,
about that.
We didn't do an in-person meet at your place.
Yeah, bike by the radiator. There's been like little chunks falling all the past couple days. It's really funny.
You're waiting on the ceiling people to
yeah,
to come.
Oddly enough, they're the same as the floor people.
Wow.
Yeah, because when you go through, one becomes the other.
One man's floor people is another man's ceiling people.
I had a joke earlier for you. It was I liked the idea of them we have no floor people. Here we go. We got village people. We got just I was trying to think of more people that they were going to send you instead.
Other outro goes here.
Thanks so much for watching. Check back every Monday for new episodes, or you can listen wherever you enjoy podcasts. If you want to help support the show, tell your friends how much you like Is This Anything? Or get involved. Like an episode, share, comment, subscribe. If you want more Is This Anything, you got to join our Patreon at patreon.com/ITAPod. We have a ton of awesome exclusive content on there, and you can join for as little as $1 a month. Check out the links in the description, and hopefully we'll see you next week.